We're doing the Sefer Hamidot. We're up to page Reish Lamed Tes. We saw last time that the Magen Midovna had stressed that the word that's used is the word Avodah, that the word Avodah means service. There's a relationship between the one who's doing the service and the one who's being served. It is not called an action. The performance of mitzvot is called the avodah of mitzvot, the service of mitzvot. And so he said, if there is supposed to be intent, then it cannot be an action that stems from habit. It has to be something that's thought out. It has to be with intent. So that was his first point to explain why it's so important that we think about what we're doing and not just get into the habit of performing mitzvot. Oh, habit is good. It has its benefits. But there's also an importance to thinking about it and having a relationship with our Creator as we do mitzvot. That was point number one. Shenit, secondly, Teida, I want you to know, Ken Briya Ba'olam, there isn't a creature in the world, Asher Eino Po'el Pu'ula Al Chutz Mimenu, that doesn't function externally. Meaning the fact that you're doing something, everything does something. Everything affects something. If there's going to be any weight given to what I'm doing, there has to be some meaning to it. The fact that I'm doing something? No. So the sheep, they graze, they eat the grass. Is that the service of Hashem? Everything in the world functions. Look at a butterfly, he's working too. Look at the honeybee, he's also working. Is that the service of Hashem? And if you look at some of the creatures in nature, they can do things that there isn't any human capacity to perform. Like the ox carrying the yoke, the donkey carrying weight. Aside from creatures where each one has their talents. Mehem charashim uvanim veorgim. You have the creatures that know how to build wood. You know, the beaver builds a dam. You know, the way bees build the honeycomb with a perfect octagon. You know, the way a spider spins its web. These are things that you and I can't do. Go perform a spider web. Just look in the books of nature. You'll see the different strengths, the different talents of the different creatures. Go make sound like a cricket. You can't. There are a lot of things. Go roar like a lion. Hey, you want to compare our actions? If it's all about action, well then they can do much more action. I remember as a child they showed us this video about what makes us different. And so anything that a human can do, they put them up against an animal. And I remember they showed that they were able to train kangaroos to box. What? Are they naturally box? Okay. So according to the video they showed us, this goes back to when I was in fifth grade, the kangaroo could outbox a human. That's what they said. I don't know. So what's our... If life is about our talents, if it's just about the actions we do, if it doesn't involve our intellect, our thought, our intent, well then there are a lot of creatures in the world that can build things, you know. There's a little black bug. I guess it's like a flea. It's not really a flea. They pester dogs, and then they could pester humans. It's not a tick. It's not a tick. It's a little black bug that jumps very...
Yeah,
it's a flea, oh yeah? In English, they're called fleas? Okay. So, in Hebrew, they're called paushim. How many times their size? They could jump like 100 times their size. They're working right now to pull those genes to humans, to try to be able to get humans to jump 100 times their heights. Could you imagine that?
Paushim?
Par-ushim, yeah. Par-oshim. No, par-oshim. I know because they invaded our home about 7 years ago. And suddenly you saw these bing, like flying dots. Okay. So at any rate, if you look at the books of nature, you see that when it comes to action, Well, there are a lot of preachers in the world that can outperform us. Yes?
But human beings can do everything animals can do through the agent that is our inventions. I'd like to see an animal build a tank, or through our machines who can make perfect sounds of crickets. And
okay.
We have tractors that can do the work of dozens of oxes.
Okay.
Well, that can carry several times his own weight.
Oh, don't forget going to space, which no animal can possibly do.
Monkeys for us.
Oh, cows, yeah.
And when Hashem wants to take praise, Hashem doesn't say, look at me, I created an ant that can carry twice its weight.
More times
its weight. The only creature that Hashem takes pride in is that creature which can talk, the human being. And the only creature that Hashem says is my servant is the human being, the midaber, the one who has capacity to speak, the one who has free choice and chooses to serve Hashem. So he's called the servant. The cow, the dog, the monkey, the chimpanzee, the kangaroo, they're not servants. They have a nature, but they don't have the intellect to choose. The fact that we have the intellect to choose, well, that's what makes us Hashem's servants. It's not the action, it's the decision, it's the thought. You see the genius way in which the Magen Midubnei is developing this idea? It can't be that just the action would suffice. There has to be a thought behind the action. Because the reason Hashem takes pride in us and calls us His servants is because of our thought. You won't find any creature that can do that. They all act based on nature or based on what nature forces them to act. Or human beings can sometimes train them to do what they want. So you have animals that behave the way they've been trained. So then how could you even entertain the thought that Hashem would accept service from a human being who hasn't invested thought in his service? Or a human being that says, okay, it's force of habit. He asked me if I put on tefillin this morning. I guess, I wasn't thinking too much about it. If it's about the action, so then there are many other creatures that can outperform our actions. It must be that what Hashem wants beyond the action, obviously you have to do the actions of the mitzvos, but that's not enough. There has to be the intent with the action. Yes?
So you're saying, so he sends your mitzvot through Kavanah, but there are mitzvot that you do, eating kosher food. You have to have the intention of every time you eat something with a meal, you eat kosher food. You live in Israel, and you're just walking around. What Kavanah do you have to have?
That's interesting. So he stressed in the beginning of this section that there is the spirit of each mitzvah. And it's true, if you're eating kosher but you're not thinking about it, then to a degree you're missing that spirit. Right. I noticed this when I came to the United States and I suddenly picked up things in the supermarket and I see, this isn't kosher. It's not just it doesn't have hechsher. This is not kosher. I remember standing in the meat section and looking and saying, not kosher meat. Wow. You have to really be careful here. And then I suddenly thought about buying kosher. I always look at which hechsher we buy. But you're choosing between kosher and kosher. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Baruch, you wanted something? No.
I thought that
Haredim don't need to have a loop. Could be, but that doesn't mean they say it's not kosher.